is worthy. Giving praise is worthy. Giving praise is worthy. Giving praise is worthy. Oh yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Giving praise is worthy. Giving praise is worthy. Giving praise is worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. All right, let's have a seat. Bring out your Bibles, notes, pen, and let's learn the word of God. So, manifestation of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. The manifestation of the Spirit. This is part two. And then we're going to be learning God's word. See what the Bible has to say again on this subject. Amen. So let's bring out our writing materials and let's begin to write. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 2. Let's turn our Bibles. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 2. So I need you to write. I need you to be writing. I'll be speaking and you're writing. So the pace is going to be good enough for you to write. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 3. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be what? Ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by what? The Holy Spirit. So let's start writing. We began our study on the manifestation of the Spirit. Begin to write. We began our study on the manifestation of the Spirit. Where's your writing material? Begin to write. We began our study on the manifestation of the Spirit, you know, weeks ago. And we started by showing us that Paul wanted us to have knowledge. We started by showing us that Paul wanted us to have knowledge. Knowledge of the things of the Spirit. Knowledge concerning the things of the Spirit. Paul is showing us that knowledge is vital. So we began our study concerning things of the Spirit and began by showing us that Paul wanted us to have knowledge. That is, it is God's will that the believer is knowledgeable about the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That is, ignorance in the things of the Spirit is abnormal. Ignorance in the things of the Spirit is abnormal. A believer must be knowledgeable. Ignorance in the things of the Spirit is what? Is abnormal. Hallelujah. For the believer. Now, knowledge is very key and central for experiencing the things of the Spirit. That is Paul's submission. So that's why Paul says, concerning the things of the Spirit, I do not want you to be ignorant. Ignorance is abnormal for the believer where the things of the Spirit is concerned. Knowledge is very key and central to experiencing the things of the Spirit. Praise God. Now, the word ignorant, like we saw last week, the word ignorant in the Greek is the word which means to not know. The word ignorant in the Greek is the word that means to not know or to not understand. When he says, I will not have you ignorant, it means I will not have you void of understanding. The word ignorant in the Greek spelled A-G-N-E-O. Agnoheo. A-G-N-E-O. A-G-N-E-O. It means to not know or to not understand. Hallelujah. And then I said last week that this lack of knowledge or understanding can be as a result of not having access to knowledge or as a result of ignoring knowledge. This lack of understanding or this lack of knowledge
can be as a result of not having access to knowledge or as a result of ignoring knowledge, a deliberate ignoring of the knowledge made available to a person. A deliberate ignoring of the knowledge made available to a person. An example is found at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's turn our Bibles. 1 Corinthians 14, 38. I explained this last week also. So an ignorant man is not one who just doesn't have access to knowledge. It could be a man that has access to knowledge and chooses to not receive the knowledge. 1 Corinthians 14. You remember this explanation from last week? 1 Corinthians 14. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 38. I'll read, Bible says, but if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. I showed you last week that the context of this is about a man that chooses to not receive the words of the apostles. Hallelujah. If anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. That word means, if anyone ignores us, let him also be ignored. That is why the contrast is a man that acknowledges that the things we are saying is by the Spirit of God. You find the contrast at verse 37. If anyone thinks himself to be spiritual or a prophet, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. So an ignorant man is a man who is not just about the fact that you have never heard these things. It could also be that you have chosen to not pay attention. You have chosen to ignore the things you are told. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's start writing again. So when Paul says, I will not have you ignorant. When Paul says, I will not have you ignorant. Is taking responsibility for teaching them these things. When he says, I will not have you ignorant, he's taking responsibility for teaching them these things. That is, the preacher of the gospel or the teacher of the word has been given the responsibility to educate the saints. So when Paul says, I will not have you ignorant, he's taking responsibility. That is, it's not something is subjecting to chance. It's not something he's subjecting to chance. He's taking responsibility for teaching them. I would not have you ignorant of spiritual things. And then we saw last week also that this is Paul's phrase. This is Paul's phrase used whenever he wanted to bring something to the awareness of his audience. It is Paul's phrase or Paul's way of speaking, manner of speaking, whenever he wants to bring something to the awareness of his audience. Write this text of the Bibles, the text of the scriptures down. Romans 1:13. You find examples of usage. Romans 1:13. Romans 11:25. 2 Corinthians 1:8. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I'll read again. Romans 1:13. Romans 11:25. 2 Corinthians 1:8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. You find Paul using that phrase in those places. I will not have you ignorant. It means I want to inform you. Hallelujah. So, like I said, this means the preacher or the teacher of the gospel is responsible for making people understand. This means the preacher or the teacher of the gospel is responsible for making people understand the things of the Spirit. He is not meant to outsource it. Hallelujah. He's not meant to do what? He's not meant to outsource it. It is his responsibility. For instance, if people come to this church and they don't get to speak in tongues, we don't say it is because they don't want to speak in tongues. The first question would be, have we taught about tongues? Hallelujah. It is the responsibility of the man, the preacher, or the teacher of God's word, to educate men. Glory to God. So, he's not to outsource it. He's also not meant to leave it for them to experiment. You don't experiment it or stumble upon the things of the Spirit. You receive vital spiritual information. It's not meant to outsource it. It's not meant to neglect it. It's not meant to assume that they are meant to experiment with it or get to stumble upon it some way, somehow, by chance. It's meant to take up the responsibility of teaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, this also means that the notion or the idea of discouraging knowledge in pursuit of the things of the Spirit is unscriptural. This means that the notion or the idea of discouraging the things of discouraging knowledge in pursuit of the things of the Spirit is unscriptural. Hallelujah. Whether it is done boldly or subtly, the idea of despising knowledge under the guise of seeking the Spirit is misleading. It is misleading. Why? Because Paul makes it clear that the Spirit can only be well experienced through the knowledge of God. Paul makes it clear that the Spirit can only be experienced or well experienced through the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Paul makes it clear that the Spirit can only be experienced through what? The knowledge of God. Ignorance robs people of what they ought to enjoy. Let's see Romans chapter 10. Ignorance is terrible. Ignorance is bad. And the believer that is not well taught will be robbed of that which is meant to enjoy. So also, a man that is taught and chooses to not receive sound teaching would also rob himself of spiritual things. Romans chapter 10. Ignorance is terrible. See what Paul says concerning the Jews. Romans 10 from verse 1 down to 4. Are you with your Bibles? Romans 10, 1 to 4. Hallelujah. Let's all read together. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who... Now look up. So when he says they've been ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God, it means they did not receive God's righteousness, right? Because they can't say they didn't know. Israel understood, let me not say understood, Israel had access to the gospel. Praise God. In the same chapter 10, go down to verse 16, Romans chapter 10, 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It now goes to verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? He now says, yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. So Israel knew. What did I say? Israel knew. So when he says, they've been ignorant of God's righteousness, it means they chose to ignore what was told them. Hallelujah. They chose to not accept it. Now, was righteousness made available to them? But their ignorance is the reason why they are not enjoying it. Of course, everybody starts out by not knowing. You don't start out choosing to ignore. You start out by just being blank. You don't have an idea about it. So we all started with ignorance as not having access to the right information. But the moment the gospel is preached to you and you refuse it, that ignorance is no longer just some passive ignorance. It's now an active, deliberate refusal of the truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's get back to writing. So, the righteousness that was promised to their fathers. This is a commentary on Romans 10, 1 to 4. The righteousness that was promised to their fathers and was theirs for the taking. The righteousness that was promised to their fathers and was theirs also for the taking was what they had neglected because of ignorance. The righteousness that was promised to their fathers and was theirs also for the taking was what they had neglected because of ignorance. They were literally and zealously racing towards hell and perdition. That's how deadly ignorance can be. They were literally racing towards hell and perdition. That's how deadly ignorance can be. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, this guy, listen. Now follow. When I say, let's start writing, we start writing. When I say, look up, you look up. So, these guys had access to righteousness by faith. God promised it to Abraham. You know, at Romans 4, Paul says, those who are sons of Abraham are not just those who are circumcised, but those who also walk in the same steps of our father Abraham. So, God promised it to Abraham. Abraham walked in righteousness by faith. You know, down the line, different people in their lineage experienced God by walking by faith, believing God. It was to them God gave the promise. Amen. You know, for Gentiles, the Bible refers to us as strangers from the covenant of promise. That is, it was not originally given to us. Not that God didn't have a plan for us. But it was not, we are not the recipients of those oracles. But these guys received it. Yet, because of ignorance, many of them perished. Hallelujah. So that's how bad ignorance can be. Glory to God. Now let's write. Paul himself was once a victim of ignorance. So this Paul that is talking now, that is saying, see, I will not have ignorance. He himself was once a victim of ignorance. So he knew so well the deadly consequence of being in ignorance. He himself knew. Paul himself was in ignorance. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 13. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 1. So he himself knew the deadly consequence of ignorance. 1 Timothy and chapter 2, sorry, in chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in what? In unbelief. Hallelujah. So, such a promising ministry gift. Such a promising apostolic gift. That's right. Such a promising ministry gift that Paul was. Such a promising apostolic gift was turned into a persecutor of the church. Hallelujah. Such a promising ministry gift was turned into a persecutor of the church. Of the church of Christ. And he fought militantly against the gospel. He fought militantly against the gospel. And blasphemed against the faith. All because of ignorance. See how deadly ignorance can be. Such a promising minister of the gospel that Paul became eventually was turned into a persecutor of the gospel. He was fighting the very thing that he was meant to promote, all because of ignorance. Hallelujah. Let's keep writing. Now, isn't this the same way you find people today who make a mockery of spiritual things in the body of Christ? Isn't this the same way you find people who make a mockery of tongues? For instance, people making a mockery of tongues. Now, that's not even meant to be shocking if they weren't believers in Christ. It's not meant to be shocking. For instance, at Acts chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, others mocking that they are full of new wine. That's on the day of Pentecost. You remember? The first time the Holy Ghost came upon men and they began to speak in other tongues, there were people who were standing around and they were laughing at them. Hallelujah. Look up. They were laughing around. They were laughing. And you know, it's understandable because those ones were unbelievers. So it was strange. So Peter had to call them and say, see, guys, this is not wine. Look at the time now. Praise God. And then he began to show them that this is a fulfillment of that which was spoken by the prophets. But today, we find believers in Christ who are making a mockery of spiritual things. Somebody called me recently, we were on phone, and then she said that while they were having a discussion amongst their friends, Christians, suddenly everybody began to make a mockery of tongues. Hey, look at the way it sounds. She just got irritated and got up and walked away. Believers, why? Ignorance. Hallelujah. So what Paul is saying is so important. I don't want you to be ignorant. The consequences are very, very, very deep. Praise God. Consequences are serious. Now listen, everyone. How many of you remember times, the days when you hadn't met the word? How many of you remember? Do you remember how you were? Do you know that if you stumble on some of the things you said then, you will laugh at yourself? Hallelujah. And you thought you were preparing someone. They say, come and give exhortation. You go, the things you write. In fact, there's a book. I think a book I wrote on worship. The worship of God. And I said the Greek word for worship means to love and to adore. If it means to love and to adore, God also does that to us. I mean, God loves us. He adores us. So worship is a two-way thing. Praise God. I can't remember where that book is. And I'm praying it will never be seen. Because somebody can go and stumble on it now and read and go and preach. Praise God. You will see some of the things you wrote, you will just be laughing. Ignorance is very embarrassing. Hallelujah. And you know, in the body of Christ, we don't take knowledge very importantly, because somehow over the years, we've been able to downplay on the significance of knowledge. Hallelujah. And we don't do that in every other place. For instance, this night I said, yeah, keep writing. It may sound strange. But you go to class and take notes like that. Glory to God. Knowledge is key. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, knowledge is key. Knowledge is important. Hallelujah. So, Paul says to them, so Paul begins his discourse. Let's start writing. Paul begins his discourse concerning spirituals with a need for knowledge. Because knowledge is so important, Paul begins his discourse concerning spirituals with a need for knowledge. You guys have to know. I give you to understand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, it is very important for men to have knowledge concerning spiritual things. Because the word spiritual, which is pneumaticos in the Greek, is not just about the things of God. We saw that in the last teaching also. It is very important for men to have knowledge in the things of the Spirit, because the word spiritual, which is the word pneumaticos in the Greek, is not just about the things of God. Hallelujah. Listen, look up. You know, that's why I said this last week, that because of Paul's audience, particularly the people he was addressing, the Corinthians. The Corinthians who were once in idolatry. Because of that audience, it was important for Paul to begin to show them the distinction or the difference between where they were coming from and where they are now in Christ. Hallelujah. Why? I said because the word pneumaticos is not just about spirituals in Christ. Glory to God. You can get lost in the realm of spiritual things. So there must be an accurate information. Glory to God. There must be an accurate what? It's just the same way. Let me give you a layman's analogy. If I throw you in a place where they are doing all kinds of oil, they are dealing with all kinds of what's the word now? I want to say fuel, but is that the word for all those stuff? Kerosene, oil. It's just crude oil. Now, you'll be shocked that you may not know the difference. If you get to where they are really doing all those things in their crude state, you may not know the difference because everything is oil. Praise God. So it will take somebody who is an expert in that field to say, no, this one is not, this one is not. Because what you are seeing is not the refined thing. Hallelujah. So that's the same way in the realm of the spirit. You can be lost chasing spiritual things, spiritual experiences and all. Praise God. Now, why do you think Paul says in Galatians 1? Let me get you thinking. Galatians 1. Why do you think Paul said this at Galatians 1? We're going to see some very important things tonight. Galatians chapter 1, from verse 6. Praise God. Praise God. Galatians 1, verse 6. Why do you think Paul had to say what he said to the Galatian church? And I'm going to ask you a question. Galatians 1, 6 to 8. Bible says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Hallelujah. Now, which angel? That's the question. Which angel do you think will come with a different gospel? Huh? An angel of God? An angel of what? Of the devil? Of darkness? Now, why do you think so? Can an angel of God, the God we serve, ministry spirit, sent for the ministry to those who are here, can such an angel come and preach a false gospel? Huh? Okay. When Mary was to hear about Jesus, which angel went to meet her? An angel of God or demon? Angel of God. When it was John the Baptist's parents, which angel? An angel of God. The shepherds that were watching their flocks by night, thank God for that carol song. Those shepherds, which angel appeared to them? Angel of God. The angel that warned them to run to Egypt to preserve the baby Jesus, which angel was that? So angels of God, elect angels, are sent to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. So which angel can come from heaven and preach a false gospel? Huh? Okay, let's see 1 Peter. Let's see 1 Peter. I'm trying to show you where the angels of God, where they have their interest. Amen. And I let me quickly say this. They are elect angels. That's what they refer to. That's what they call them. Elect angels. Elect angels are angels that did not fall. That did not leave their first estate. That didn't follow Satan in his rebellion. Praise God. So they are elect angels. Their allegiance is to God. So I want to show you where their interest lies. 1 Peter. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 1. From verse 10, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look in to. So, where is the interest of angels? Where does their interest lie? In the gospel, right? 2 Corinthians. So, I want to show you a different set of angels. Who are not really angels. They are not angels of God, but they are angels. Hallelujah. Don't forget, because angels are ministry spirits. So, they are angels, but this time around, they are fallen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians. And I'll read from verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So which angel manifests like an angel of light? When he manifests as an angel of light, the intention is to do what? To deceive. So when he says, whether if we or an angel from heaven preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. Which angel can come from heaven to preach another gospel? Now, it may sound tricky. I will get it. It came from heaven. An angel from heaven, because he said from heaven. Hallelujah. So, angels, devils, demons, and all that. Now, listen. Let's move on. You know, the reason why I made this, I branched into all that was because I began to share again that the word pneumaticus is all-encompassing. It is not just about the things of God. It is a realm about spirits, all kinds of spirits. Glory to God. So we're going to see, is it possible for an angel from heaven to come and deceive? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's see an example. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Praise God. Ephesians 6 verse 12. Pneumaticus is used at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 in a way that makes us realize that the realm of the spirit or spirituals is not just about the things of Christ. It's a vast world. And we saw this in the last teaching also. But we're going to examine it carefully today. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Against what? Principalities and what? And powers. And the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. That's right. Now, note the phrase principalities and powers. Hallelujah. Note the phrase principalities and powers. Also note the phrase spiritual host of wickedness. Principalities and powers, spiritual host of wickedness. Note those phrases. So for the first one, the word principalities is the Greek word arche. A-R-C-H-E. The word principalities. I'm not sure I got that particular pronunciation right. A-R-C-H-E. That's the Greek word. Principalities. Hallelujah. And it is used for both angels and demons. Hallelujah. It is used for what? Both angels and demons. Let's see other places where Paul used these words. Principalities. It is used not just for angels. It is also used for demons. So, you know, principality is from princes. Prince. So, they are princes. Rulers. And then these principalities are not just about angels of God. It's also used for demons. Demonic spirits. Hallelujah. Now listen. Ephesians 1. Let's see other places. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 15 to 21. Ephesians 1, 15 to 21. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Hallelujah. When he says far above all principality and power, dominion, and every name that is named, it is about angels and demons. Hallelujah. It is not just about angels, because Jesus is exalted above angels, but it's not just about angels. You see, that realm, that phrase, principality, power, dominion, every name, is not just about angels. It's not just about active spirits in the light. It's also about darkness. Hallelujah. The kingdom of darkness. So when you see powers, it could be the power of God, it can also be the power of darkness. Praise God. So it's a very vast terrain. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church to what? To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. You see that phrase again? Principalities and what? Powers. Romans in chapter 8, verse 38 to 39. Romans 8, 38 to 39. Principalities and powers. And I said the phrase is always used, not just for angels in the light. It is used for angels of God. It is also used for demons. Romans 8, 38 to 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels. So you see that it mentions angels, right? Then the next thing, what does he say? Nor angels, nor what? Nor principalities and powers. Because principalities and powers don't have to be angels. Amen. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 is the last one. Colossians 2, 15. Praise God. Bible says, having disarmed principalities and powers, clearly from this portion of scripture, this cannot be about angels. Am I right? It disarmed principalities and powers. It's not angels that he gave us victory over. So principalities and powers can be about angels. It can also be about demons. It can be about the kingdom of darkness. Glory to God. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Glory to God. So let's write. So there are principalities and powers. There are principalities and powers that are not necessarily of Christ. There are principalities, there are powers. So we don't just get obsessed over power, power, power. No, there could be power that is not of Christ. There are principalities and powers that are not necessarily of Christ. Hallelujah. There could be signs and wonders that is not necessarily of God. Glory be to God. In fact, Paul is saying, Paul, in saying that we wrestle against principalities and powers, already makes it clear he wasn't talking about angels. Because we are not fighting angels. So, Paul, in saying we wrestle against principalities and against powers, already has shown you it's not about angels. It's about the kingdom of darkness. Now, it's about kingdom of darkness, about demonics. We now take note. Take note of the word heavenly also. Heavenly. Hallelujah. Take note of the word heavenly, or the phrase heavenly places. Places is in italics in many in many of our Bibles, because it's not there. What you find is just heavenly. So take note of that word. Heavenly. Which Paul used at Ephesians 1:20. Which he also used at Ephesians 3:10. Which he also used at Ephesians 6:12. Principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly. So where are these demonic spirits? In where? Where? In the heavenly. Praise God. So sometimes you have to be very accurate. You must define what you are saying. Hallelujah. You have to define what? Hallelujah. Is that the name God gave you for God? Because in the heavenly there are things. Glory to God. Principalities and powers, demonic spirits in the heavenly places. Isn't it amazing? Now that's the same phrase Bible uses for you and I. Ephesians 1:3, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6, he made us sit together in the heavenly places. That's the same heavenly places. Spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly. Hallelujah. So you see that the realm, now listen, this is not meant to be funny, but that's exactly what it is. Amen. Now, that's the word heavenly there. That's the word in the Greek that is not necessarily about the abode of God. It is not necessarily about the abode of God. When you see heaven, heavenly, it is not necessarily about God's abode. Of course, sometimes it's descriptive of a place where God dwells. That is where God rules. But it is not necessarily God's abode every time you find it in scriptures. Sometimes it also means the abode of angels. Or the abode of spirits. Hallelujah. The abode of what? Spirits. Let me quickly say something. Look up. The head is made primarily for humans that have bodies. Praise God. The earth is made primarily for people who have bodies. So that's why for any spirit to have influence on the face of the earth, it would use a man. So, but there's a realm beyond the earth. That realm is what is called the heavenly. So, in that realm, all kinds of spirits exist. Glory to God. This is important. We're driving somewhere. So, it is not necessarily the abode of God. Paul, in his epistle, shows us that demonic spirits operate there too. So, the fact that there's a sign from heaven does not mean it is from God. The fact that there's a sign from heaven does not mean it is of God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to show us two key places in the book of Revelation. This caught my fancy some years back. I literally paused when I stumbled upon this while reading the book of Revelation. I paused. I'm like, what? Hallelujah. So the fact that there's a sign from heaven, the man as he entered, it just started raining. Praise God. Does not mean anything. The man said it's going to rain. A light is going to come. There will be a sign from this. It does not mean anything. Because that heavenly realm, that realm is a realm of all kinds of spirits. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Revelation 13:11-14. Revelation 13:11-14. Glory to God. Revelation 13:11-14. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and spoke like a dragon, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Hallelujah. So, I hope you know that the beasts were not of God. I hope you know this. You're not of God. Now, it causes a deadly wound of the first beast to be healed. So healing happened. Glory to God. And it wasn't God. Apart from that, what's the next thing? He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Hallelujah. In fact, look at verse 15. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Of course, you find allegories, but then it's pointing you to something, that there are powers that can make things happen that would seem as though it is God. From heaven, fire comes down. Praise God. It gives breath to an image. The image begins to speak. Amen. It causes wound to be healed. And it's all lying signs and wonders. Now, in the same book of Revelation, Revelation 20, 7 to 9, we find another event entirely. Revelation 20, 7 to 9. Glory to God. Bible says, now when the 1,000 years had expired, Satan will be released from the prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from who? Fire came down from who? From God. Out of where? And did what? Fire came down from who? Out from where? The first beast that was not God. Where did the fire come from? The same heaven, Abby. Heaven. Praise God. So, mark the word heavenly. Principalities, powers, spiritual hosts of wickedness, heavenly places. It is not just about God, angels, Jesus, the believer. There are other spirits working in there. Hallelujah. So, heavenly or heavenly places is not just about God or angels of God. There are all kinds of strange spirits operating there. That's right. Many of the mystical things that are being taught today are connected with heavenly appearances. Heavenly appearances. And people fall for such deceptions because they do not realize that angels and demons operate in the heavenly places. I'll say it again. Many of the mystical things that are being taught today are connected with heavenly appearances. And people fall for such deceptions because they do not realize that angels and demons operate in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. That is, when people say, ah, man, but, you know, we can't, hey, I saw an angel. It was an angel that gave me this. And then they keep trying to defend falsehood because there was a spirit that was involved. It is because they are unaware of the fact that in the heavenly places, it is not just about angels of God. It is not just about God. There are other spirits. Praise God. There are other spirits. So, that's why the word of God is the only safe ground for judging those things. I should, by the word of God, discern spirituals. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's see an example in the book of Job. Let's see. I know this might have puzzled a lot of people for years. It puzzled me for a long time. But then, I understood this some years back. And it made a whole lot of difference. Because if you understand what we have been saying, heavenly places, principalities and powers, and all that, if you understand it very well, a portion of the Bible like this will not be a puzzle to you any longer. Job chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. The book of Job, chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Now listen, when he says the sons of God, was he referring to angels or men? Huh? Was he referring to angels or men? Who are those referred to as sons of God? Angels. Yeah. So he says Satan also came to present himself among them. Now, was it that Satan was not in the heavenly realm? He now just came. Or that is where he also operates from. So it is not that God welcomed him. into his presence. In the heavenly, all kinds of spirits are there. Hallelujah. You find this also in the book of Daniel. Glory to God. So the explanation of this event is what we saw earlier, that the heavenly places is a place where principalities and powers operate naturally. It's their normal terrain. Amen. It is their normal what? Normal terrain. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1 to 13. So Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant about the spiritual, because he was aware of the fact that the spiritual is all encompassing. It's not just about the things that be of God or be of Christ. Daniel chapter 10. Hallelujah. Daniel 10, 1 to 13. So just listen as I read. Go through your Bible together with me. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, Daniel was mourning 3 full weeks. I, Daniel, had no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. It's a vision. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me. For my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Verse 13, let's read together. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. What was he describing? There was a conflict in the realm of spirit. And he referred to the person that came to withstand him. Now, the person that was bringing a message to Daniel, was he an angel of God? He was withstood by another force, a principality. That's why he calls him the prince of Persia. So, another force entirely, in the same heavenly realm. Isn't it amazing that angel could not prevail over the prince of Persia? Amen. He had to take Michael, the bad boy, praise God, to show. You know, when you watch Avengers, there are some people that, when they come on the scene like this, just end the show, praise God. That's Michael. So he says, he waited 21 days. Do you know what it means to wrestle with another angel for 21 days? You want to pass, you're not going. And he says, I was with the king of Persia. And then Michael came and rebuked them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, it's the same Michael that Jude says, Michael just rebuked the devil. Amen. When he was dragging with the body of Moses, the Lord rebuked him. He would just show up. Praise God. Hallelujah. If were to be some very religious people, there are persons or meetings tonight, they say, may Michael show up for you this night. Hallelujah. Then you hear, amen. Now, as you have called Michael, another thing will just come. Because he's pneumatic. Praise God. He's so vast. Michael does not answer people. Amen. He answers to God. You know, Jesus at his arrest, he said to them, he said, if I need legions of angels, wouldn't I have asked my Father? He didn't say, I will have called them. Praise God. I will have asked who?
My Father.
So our dealings are with who?
With the Father. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So, look at this. So, angels, fallen demons, all kinds of principalities and powers operate in the heavenly. Angels, demons, all kinds of principalities and powers operate in the where? In the heavenly. Glory to God. So, look at what Stephen also said. Acts of Apostles chapter 7. Acts of Apostles 7. Glory, hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 7. See what Stephen said in his address to the Jews. Acts 7:41-43. Acts 7:41-43. Hallelujah. Bible says, and they made a calf in those days, offered sacrifices to the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, did you offer me slaughtered animals and sacrifices during 40 years in the wilderness? O house of Israel, you also took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rempham, images which you made to worship. And I'll carry you away beyond where? Beyond Babylon. Glory to God. Now, mark the phrase, host of heaven. Praise God. Host of what? Stephen says they worshipped what? The host of heaven. Hallelujah. And you know, this was descriptive of children of Israel while they were given over to idols. Now, the word host, as used by Stephen here, is the Greek word stratia. S-T-R-A-T-I-A. That's the word host. Stratia. When he says host of heaven, you worship the armies of heaven. It's the word that means armies. Stratia. S-T-R-A-T-I-A. You worship the host of heaven. So it means an army. It also means a troop of angels. Stratia. Armies or a troop of angels. Now this is the tricky part. It also means heavenly bodies. The sun, the moon, the stars. Tricky part because this is where idolatry begins. It begins with seen objects or physical objects. So their focus and devotion was to worship the sun. But behind all that were unclean spirits. Hallelujah. Don't forget what I showed you that Paul said to the Corinthians in the last teaching. That Paul told them that, at 1 Corinthians 8, he says, an idol is nothing. You can eat if your conscience is... don't make sure you don't put a stumbling block. Then he gets to another place and quickly warns them and says, see, you can't partake of the cup of the Lord and of the cup of demons. He says, I'm not saying an idol is anything. What I'm saying is that those who sacrifice to idols are sacrificing to demons. So in the worship of idols, what do you find? Demonic spirits. So host of heaven is beyond the sun and the stars and the moon. It's about a troop of fallen angels, unclean spirits, all kinds of spirits. Hallelujah. All kinds of what? Spirits. Glory to God. So, put this down. Though the objects were first about the sun, the stars, and the moon, there were unclean spirits behind the scene. Though the objects were first about the sun, the stars, and the moon, behind the scene, we had unclean spirits. Praise God. God had warned them through Moses, earlier. God had given them a warning through Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. Deuteronomy 4:19. Glory to God. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 19. So that when God want them to not bow before any image or to worship any image and any sun or the moon and all that. God knew that, see, the moment a man falls down to start worshiping an object, there are spirits around. Glory to God. A lifeless thing cannot receive worship. So behind the submitting to a metal somewhere, or submitting to the sun or the moon, you will find an unclean spirit, demonic spirit, which is what Stephen referred to as the host of heaven. They worship the host of heaven. And I'm repeating host of heaven because I'm trying to show you again that this spirit operates from the heavenly. Hallelujah. He operates from where? The heavenly. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. Bible says, and take heed lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the star, and the moon, all the host of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole earth, heaven as a heritage. So, heaven, heavenly there, host of heaven there, is about what they could see, the sun, the stars. Look at Deuteronomy 17, 1 to 5. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 1 to 5. Bible says, you shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God a bull or sheep which has any blemish or defect. For that is an abomination to the Lord your God. If there is found among you within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you, a man or a woman who has been wicked in the sight of the Lord your God in transgressing his covenant, who has gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it is told you and you hear of it, then you shall inquire diligently. Praise God. You shall inquire diligently. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 16 to 17. So you see, it all began with physical objects. The sun, the moon, the stars. But you are going to see a connection with unclean spirits very soon. 2 Kings and verse and chapter 17. Now read verse 16 to 17. 2 Kings 17, 16 to 17. Bible says from verse 16. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molten image and two calves, made a wooden image and worshipped all the host of heaven and served what? Baal. So host of heaven and what now? Baal. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 21, 1 to 6. 2 Kings 21, 1 to 6. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars for Baal and made a wooden image as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. And he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also he made his son pass through fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, and consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. So you see that beyond the host of heaven, there was now connection with what? Spiritists. Demonic spirits and all that. Demons. Because the host of heaven is not just about the sun and the stars. There are many other things there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There are many other things where? There. In fact, 2 Kings 23 makes a distinction between the stars. He calls those ones the constellations. 2 Kings 23 and verse 5. Glory to God. 2 Kings 23 and verse 5. Bible says, then he removed the idolatrous priest whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah. and in the places all around Jerusalem, and those who burnt incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, and to what? To all the host of heaven. Hallelujah. So let's write. So there are all kinds of spirits in the heavenly places. There are all kinds of spirits in the heavenly places. Let that sink. There are all kinds of spirits in the heavenly places. The spiritual realm is so vast. Hence, the believer cannot afford to carelessly and recklessly explore that realm outside the boundaries of God's word. The spiritual realm is so vast. Hence, the believer cannot afford to carelessly and to recklessly explore that realm outside the boundaries of God's word. Hallelujah. Outside the boundaries of what? Of God's word. Now back to the Corinthians. The Corinthians, you know, like I said to you, they had followed strange spirits before encountering the gospel of Christ. So, just like, you know, many of us who were unbelievers, who were Gentiles, who were pagans, but because many of us didn't have our roots in the villages. We didn't have our roots with our forefathers. How many of you grew up in the village? No. Not really. How many of you ever served an idol? Like, really serve an idol? Not idol of money now. Or idol of football. Praise God. Real idols. Shango. Praise God. And they helped them to carry calabash with palm oil. And egg. And yam. Praise God. You did that. Okay, he did it in a church. Amen. The church, his former pastor, praise God, told them to go and burn, what was that again? Prayer request at, what did they call? T-junction. Oritameta, T-junction. They burned their prayer point and said, am I where you? Praise God. And so they didn't look back. He still didn't gain admission that year. You did, okay. Alright. So he gained admission. Heavenlies, praise God. So your admission, hallelujah. So you see, that's one of the things we are saying. There was result. Amen. There was result because there was a spirit to answer. Glory to God. All right. So, they hadn't met the gospel. But many of us, though we were Gentiles, we were not involved in idolatry. We're not like that. We're not involved in the worship of idols. But for the Corinthians, it was a practice. Amen. Now look up. Do you know that idolatry over the years, because of civilization and, you know, modernization, it's fizzling out in its raw state. You find it in many places where, as a nation, the government and all that, they are just into it. So you go to some very remote places and you still find that they are practicing idol in its raw state. You go to some nations, for instance, too, and they say their religion is something, something. It may be Hinduism, it may be anything. And then you look at it, you say, ah, this is pure idolatry. Praise God. But in those days, it was the raw thing. You see temples of gods. So that was how the Corinthians practiced idolatry. Amen. In fact, I remember that when I was growing up, even in this community, idolatry was different. If they tell you not to go out in the night, in those days, you dare not step out. See, they want to do Agon festival. It's something they call Agon in Yoruba. You dare not go out. As a woman, if they say they want to do Oro, and you go out and they catch you, literally, people used to go missing. Do you get what I'm saying? It was like a rite. They would kidnap you and use you to worship their idol. And they were doing those things around in many places. I remember my dad rescuing somebody, a woman, from these Agon people then. It was a daytime. And the person was running around with cutlass, chasing the woman. And my dad walked into them. I think he was driving. So he parked. I said, what? So he told the woman to enter the car. And he said, what's happening? Kidney, what do you want to do? And he was not even around. He was around the cotton. And he defended the woman. What? And you know, the world was already very civilized to an extent. So imagine the rawness, imagine the kind of evil and atrocity that was being perpetrated in those days under the guise of idolatry. So those the Corinthians experienced idolatry raw. Glory to God. When Paul got to Athens, they were worshipping an unknown. Do you know when Paul says, I perceive that in all things you are very religious? That word religious means you are very superstitious. Do you know what was happening in Athens in those days? Look up. Do you know what was happening in Athens? They had different idols. They were worshipping different idols. He now said, there must be another God that we don't know. Praise God. Let's give him also his due. The unknown God. Praise God. That was not the only person they were worshipping. That was not the only thing they were deifying. They had idols and they said one is unknown. Glory be to God. You don't believe. Let me show you what happened. Acts 17. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 17. Acts of Apostles chapter 17. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 17. From verse 22. Okay, let me start from verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to what? So was it one idol? Multiple idols. He was given to idols. He just discovered it was a very idolatrous city. Amen. So, and then Bible says his spirit was provoked within him, that is to testify to them. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers in the marketplaces daily, with those who happened to be there. Now look at verse 18. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, imported gods. Praise God. It's like he has other gods he can introduce us to. Praise God. You know what? You know, look at who. Bible says, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. Look at verse 19. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus and said, may we know this new doctrine of which you speak, for you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. Verse 21, for all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. Hallelujah. So, which God have you discovered today? Say, Ogunlakaye, come and tell us about it. Praise God. What about you? When I went to, I saw, come on. They were just there to hear about new things. It seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, and they had no problem. Come and talk to us about it. Glory to God. And they will now add it to a list of their gods. So, when Paul began to address them, at verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the object of your worship, I even found an altar. You know, that's what shocked Paul. Okay, he saw idols. His spirit was provoked. He wanted to preach. He said, I was not even passing. I now saw another altar to an unknown God. Hallelujah. Paul now used that to say, see, the God whom you worship without knowing. Because they just felt there's another God somewhere that we don't know. They didn't know him as Jesus. It's just that there's one unknown God. There must be a God we don't know. Hallelujah. So, back to what I was saying about the Corinthians. So, the Corinthians were given to idolatry. Raw. Hallelujah. That's why the first thing Paul said to them, after he said, I will not have you ignorant, was to say at 1 Corinthians 12:2, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Praise God. Now let's write. Paul knew that they had dabbled into spiritual things. Paul knew that they had dabbled into spiritual things. Hallelujah. They had dabbled into spiritual things. He says they were led by idols. They were led by idols. The word led is the Greek word ago. The word led is the Greek word ago, A-G-O. The word led is the Greek word ago, A-G-O, which means to move or impel. It's about influence. It means to move or to impel. Now, put a colon and write of forces and influences on the mind. A colon. Colon is, you know, that's those two dots sitting on themselves. Semicolon is a comma and a dot on it. So, a colon of forces and influences on the mind. So when we say a man is led by something, we mean his mind has been subjected to its influence. So they were led by idols means their minds were subjected to the influences of idolatry. Their mind. Now look up. When your mind is subjected to the influence of something, it will shape your experiences. So the kind of spiritual experiences they had came from influences of idols. Hallelujah. It came from what? Influences of idols. Now this is the same word we saw last week in the first teaching. This is the same word used at Luke chapter 4 verse 1. Where the Bible says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The same word ago. The same word Jesus was propelled and compelled or led or moved by the Holy Ghost was the way the Corinthians were once led by idols. Hallelujah. Now, you know that the reason why Jesus was led by the Spirit was because he subjected his mind to God's word, to the worship of God. So, in the worship of idols, the human mind is also subjected to those forces. Amen. Subjected to those forces. So when you see the way, sometimes the way they dance during their occultic festivals and all that, they are under, you know, they say it's under influence. Praise God. It's under influence. Do you know the word manifestation is not unique to Christianity? Manifestation. They look at somebody and say, it's manifest. Have you heard that before? Yes. Maybe somebody who is possessed, say, what is manifest? It's the same way. Hallelujah. It's the same word used at Galatians 5:18. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. So the Corinthians had been led by idols. Same way, they are now being expected to be led of the Spirit of God. They had been led by idols. Same way, they are now being expected to be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Now, as Gentiles, their minds were futile. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. As Gentiles, their minds were futile. They were ignorant. Ephesians 4. And I'll read from verse 17. Their minds were futile. They were ignorant of God. Totally. So Paul is calling them. When Paul says he will not have them ignorant, what he's calling them to is a renewal of the mind. Praise God. Ephesians in chapter 4. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll read from verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of what? Because of what? Because of what? The ignorance that is in them. Hallelujah. Because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk on uncleanness with greediness. So, Gentiles were ignorant. Their hearts were blind. Hallelujah. So when he says you were once Gentiles carried away by idols, it means in that state they were ignorant of God, ignorant of his ways. Now that they are born again, their minds must be renewed. Glory to God. So what is Paul calling the Corinthians to? A renewal of what? Concerning what? The things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I will not have you ignorant with me. Listen, It means they were not completely ignorant of spiritual things. Did you get that? They were not completely ignorant of what? Spiritual things. But they were completely ignorant of spiritual things as it pertains to Christ. Amen. They knew some things. That's why I pointed to them that they were led by idols. So they had a certain knowledge and information. Glory to God. But as pertaining to the things, spiritual things in Christ, they were ignorant. Glory to God. They were ignorant. So this means a proper renewal of mind was necessary for these saints of God concerning the things of the Spirit. They must not be ignorant anymore now that they are in Christ. Hallelujah. They must not be ignorant anymore now that they are what? In Christ. So this is why Paul began to address very key things that differentiate spirituals in Christ from other kinds of spirituals. Amen. I said this is why Paul began to address things that differentiate spirituals in Christ from other kinds of spirituals in the world. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So he begins to differentiate. Because they had a certain knowledge. When we say a man is ignorant of God, he is ignorant of God, but he's not ignorant of Satan's workings. Hallelujah. He is ignorant of the way of righteousness, but he's not ignorant of sin. He's ignorant of the light, but he's not ignorant of darkness. That darkness itself is what we call ignorance in the context of the things of God. But that ignorance is a certain knowledge. Glory to God. You know, we saw how that Satan corrupted knowledge. He corrupted the minds of men, but through another knowledge. So it's not that they are totally without knowledge, but that knowledge is corrupted. It's craftiness. Hallelujah. So he begins to point out, and the first thing that he points out as what differentiates the things of the Spirit in Christ from other forms of spirit is at 1 Corinthians 12:3 when he says, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Christ except by the Holy Spirit." The word speaking is from the Greek word laleo. L-A-L-E-O. L-A-L-E-O. That's the word speaking, which means to utter. It means to utter something, to say. So, no one giving utterances by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Hallelujah. No one giving utterances by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. We saw in the last teaching that calling Jesus accursed will mean to ignore, to reject the gospel. Calling Jesus accursed will mean to ignore or to reject the gospel. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 9 verse 3, put this down. Romans 9 verse 3, Galatians 1, 8 to 9, 1 Corinthians 16, 22. Romans 9, 3, Galatians 1, 8 to 9, 1 Corinthians 16, 22. To call Jesus accursed means to reject or to ignore him. Because the word accursed is from the Greek word anathema, which is used at, you know, in those portions of scriptures that I called anathema. It also means to be God forsaken. At Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, you know, Paul says, Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. Having become what? A curse for us. So in his death, he became an accursed thing. Hallelujah. So the man that says Jesus is accursed does not believe in his resurrection. Hallelujah. And that's the reason for not believing the gospel anyway. To not believe that Jesus rose again from the dead. That is why the contrast to this is to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. So he that speaks by the Spirit will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. So to say Jesus is accursed is to see him in his death and to not see him in his glorification. To say Jesus is accursed is to see him in his death, is to see him as an accursing without seeing him in his exaltation, his glorification. Hallelujah. Because the lordship of Jesus is primarily about the resurrection. Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 32 to 36. Acts 2, 32 to 36. Just put them down. You know, Peter says, this Jesus, God has made both Lord and Christ. It's about the resurrection. This Jesus, God has made both Lord and Christ. Romans 10, 9 to 10. If you shall confess to your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto what? Unto salvation. The lordship of Christ is about his resurrection. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. Philippians 2, 8 to 11. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and on earth, and all those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's also about what? Salvation, the resurrection. So, right? So, Paul wants us to know that the things of the Spirit in Christ have a starting point and a boundary. Praise God. Paul wants us to know that the things of the Spirit in Christ have a starting point and a boundary. Glory to God. It is about Jesus. Hallelujah. It is about who? It is about Jesus. So any craze or obsession for spirituals that isn't about Jesus is to be discarded. Any craze or obsession about spirituals that is not about Jesus is to be discarded. Because miracles, signs and wonders and spirituals in Christ Jesus are always an accompaniment to the message. Paul wants us to know that the spirituals, the things of the Spirit in Christ, have a starting point and a boundary. Hallelujah. A boundary. Because miracles, signs and wonders and the spirituals in Christ are always an accompaniment to what? To the message. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Let's begin to close. Hebrews 2, 1 to 4. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2, and verse 1 to 4. Glory be to God. Therefore, we must give the more earnest ear to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great the salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. God doing what? Bearing what? Witness to what? To the word. Hallelujah. Right from the Old Testament, miracles, signs, and wonders have always been an accompaniment to the gospel. Glory to God. Let me ask you a question. When did signs and wonders begin? Or when did signs and wonders begin in the Old Testament? When? Did it begin with Abraham? Was there signs and wonders, miracles with Noah? Huh? Was that signs and wonders? That's the type of salvation. They were saved. Huh? Huh? Was a sign and a wonder? Was it a miracle? When did we start seeing acts of power? Moses. Praise God. Moses. When did you see the first occurrence of healing in the Bible? Why are we looking? The first occurrence of healing in the Bible. You want to think about Elijah. When did Elijah come? All the prophets that ever worked in power, moved power, they all came after Moses. They all lived under the old covenant. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 makes you realize that the Old Testament was glorious. And then he puts Moses at the center. Because it was this. Praise God. So, even the Old Testament, signs and wonders were meant to be an accompaniment to the gospel. Because if you go to Hebrews chapter 4. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4, 1 to 2. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to who? As well as to who? Who were the damned? Chapter 3. Those who were in the wilderness with Moses. So, Bible says the gospel was preached to who? To them. As well as to us. So, even right from the Old Testament, the idea of God's power, signs, wonders, and all those things was meant to be a witness to the gospel so that it will lead men to believe. Hallelujah. So, the signs and the wonders and the manifestations were not standing alone. They were meant to lead the children of Israel to have faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did you get this? That is, it's not a new thing to say, signs and wonders are meant to follow God's word. Right from then, that has been the pattern. Glory to God. When Jesus came upon the scene, Matthew 17 verse 5. Look at this carefully. How many minutes do I have left? 10 minutes. Okay. Matthew 17 and verse 5. Matthew 17 verse 5. Bible says, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Do what? What should you do? Hear him. So Jesus came with a message. Hallelujah. He came with what? A message. So that's why Jesus couldn't have been a magician just entertaining people with signs and wonders. He had a message. Glory to God. He had what? So all the signs and the wonders were subject to the ministry of the word. Amen. All the signs and wonders were subject to what? To the ministry of the word. Let's walk through a few places. Matthew chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 to 25. Just pick your Bible now and let's read together. Matthew 4. 23 to 25. One, two, go. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. Then his fame went through all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. So Jesus went about doing what? He went about doing what? Hallelujah. He went about doing what? Preaching, teaching, hallelujah. And signs were following. Matthew chapter 9. I hope you know the power of the Lord to heal is present tonight. Hallelujah. There is no environment that is most suitable for the miraculous than the environment of God's word. Hallelujah. This is the realm of power in Christ. The environment of the word of God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9. You know, oh God. Some years back, I heard a testimony from Reverend Adi, I heard it from somebody concerning a meeting they had. He was preaching. It was not a healing meeting. They were just teaching God's word. And then he said, jump to your feet and bless his name. And there was a young man right then whose leg was not balanced. He used to limp. And as he said, jump to your feet and give him glory. He just jumped to his feet and his leg balanced. Praise God. Without a prayer, said, it's the environment of preaching. Glory to God. I told somebody recently, I said, when I went to hold the meeting in Ifeanyi, Discovering Christianity, as I stepped into the hall, I received by the Spirit of God to not give word of knowledge. There will be no time for word of knowledge. Don't even try to pray for the sick. Just preach. And as you preach, things are going to happen. I cannot forget as long as I live. After the meeting, people were sending testimonies. I didn't tell them. People were sending testimonies of healing. A very notable one was a woman that had a lady that came into the meeting with a blood disease. Doctors had concluded her case. She got healed. Hallelujah. Not a single trace. I did not lay hands. I didn't call word of knowledge. I didn't do anything. Just preaching God's word. Because the power of God to heal accomplishes what? The gospel. Glory to God. So let's read. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, 35. Want to go? Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and disease among them. What was he doing? And as he was teaching, signs followed. Mark 1:38-39. Mark 1:38-39. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mark 1:38-39. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out what? Demons. Hallelujah. I'm going to continue from here next week. Lift your hands and give him praise. The environment of God's word is the environment of the miraculous. And Paul would have the Corinthians and you and I also by extension, he would have us know concerning the things of the Spirit, the demarcating line, the wall of distinction or partition is the gospel of Christ. A man that would function in place of the Spirit of Christ must be a man who has his focus on the Lordship of Jesus. Has his focus on Christ. It must not be on many things. It's about Jesus. It has to be about Jesus. It has to be about Jesus. It has to be about Jesus. Oh yes, Lord. We see Jesus living in our hearts today, shining in our hearts today. We see Jesus living in our hearts today and shining in our hearts today. Shining,
shining in our hearts today.
Oh, we see Jesus living in our hearts today.
Living in our hearts today.
Shining in our hearts today.
Shining in our hearts today.
Oh, we see Jesus. Go ahead and pray while in the Holy Ghost. We see Jesus shining in our hearts now. Hela gola mala juri ke basha gabala gala bala cheri ke basha ta eye la baba 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 ke basha te ye de la baba 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 mari ke balo shata chalu goru do chuli ke bala shite bele ke chol ye ya e kulo bala shate ye de goru do chuli ke bele ye de la baya che prefele chere cheri ye ma gro le ga basha ka ta kapali do ro sale bele ye chule goru do chuli ke bala shuta bala de ni ya e ye gula jola chola chule ke basha ta e we see Jesus living in our hearts today and shining in our hearts today. Oh, we see Jesus and living in our hearts today. You're shining in our hearts today. Yeah, we see Jesus. Oh, we see Jesus. Living in our hearts today. Hallelujah. Meeting is close tonight to you. On Sunday, glory to God. Living in our hearts today. Living in our hearts today. Shining in our hearts.
Shining in our hearts today.
Oh, oh, oh.
We see Jesus.
Oh, living in our hearts today.
Living in our hearts today.
Shining in our hearts today.
Shining in our hearts today.
Oh, we see Jesus.
We see Jesus.
Living in our hearts today. meeting is closed tonight, say hi to somebody. Glory to God.
Yeah. Living in the house today. Shining in the house today. Yeah. We see Jesus.